The Smiths and Sweet and Tender Hooligan, picked by Mr. Phil Hamm, of course, in honour of Mr. Tommy Smith.
Obviously.
Welcome to the show. Joining me and Phil today are none other than the return of the man from Block H.
Good evening.
We also welcome the return, he's also been on once this season, Mr. Terry Holden.
Good evening.
And me and Phil.
And us.
And that's it. Yes, I've just gone completely blank because I was trying to not say something about that intro. So carry on.
You're not a big Smith fan, then?
Yeah. No, yeah, I love the Smiths.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Well, right. Well, so we've won a match again.
Amazing.
We're fifth in the table, and we're in the last 16, is it? The round of the last 16, as they call it, of the Carling Cup. All going well?
Yeah, well, the tough, you know, the going gets tough. Northampton, but Coventry next, isn't it?
In the league.
That's what you've got to concentrate on after all, haven't we, Brian?
But what do we think of the league game, first of all, before we come on to the...
Saturday's game,
Well,
it was 3 points, and we could have had more goals, really. We should have had more goals. But as a game, I didn't get wildly excited about it. I didn't think it was a particularly good football match. But I think that's indicative of the standard of football in this division this season anyway, so I don't think... You're going to see many top quality games.
It was a typical championship battle, wasn't it?
Yes. But nothing to get wildly excited over it football wise, the quality of football. But we get, 3 points and we move on.
The game's one moment of real quality was the first goal, I thought.
Yes. Because last season we would definitely have drawn that or even lost it, which would have been the daftest thing to have done. And the goals were sort of similar, weren't they? Down the same sort of channel with two halves, centre-halves going for the same ball type thing. Sort of similar type goals for each side in exactly the same part of the pitch, apart from the way they went in. But Scotland did take it well, which was... He does actually look like he's going to score, which is a sort of rarity for a town scorer, I suppose.
I think he's got that thing of being someone who, if you give him a chance, he'll more than likely get it. I know he missed one at Reading and he missed another one at Scunthorpe, which he probably should have got. But chances, if they come, he'll get the money.
Well, you've got more likely to get them than anybody else in the team anyway, put it that way.
And more likely to get them than the Steads and the Lees and these other people we've had over the last few years, I think.
I suppose so, really. But I just worry that when we play the one man up front, that Scotland is not really the best man to have as your outlet. He's not particularly mobile.
No.
So he's sort of static in the middle part of the park and... When people are sort of trying to put the ball forward, there's no, you've got to rely on the wing back sort of thing to get forward, and that's a bit of a gamble at times.
He also sort of scared of heights, I think, because he never seems to leave the ground, does he?
Well, he's another of a long list of players that seem to have lead in their boots that we have up front, who are quite good players but seem unable to jump for some reason. But I mean, Jamie Peters can jump far higher than he.
Jamie Peters really has got quite a jump, hasn't he? Really?
Yeah. Four times his body height, apparently, isn't it? Allegedly. Legend has it, yeah.
Isn't it something to do with muscle fibre? Which is why you get the faster sprinters are always black.
Oh, it's to do with fast muscle and slow muscle.
Yeah, it's the white and brown muscle, apparently. I know all this.
But he's so technical, this show.
Well, it's amazing.
Sounds like a breakfast cereal to me.
I think the thing with Scotland is that, as you say, he's not someone who's going to run into channels in the manner of, I don't know, that Wickham would probably do more of that
when he plays that role. Yes.
But if you get the ball into him and lay it off to one of his own teammates, as long as you get it to him in sort of below neck height, really. And he does do so. He is good at that thing of if the ball does come at a height that he's not going to get it, he does put enough pressure on the defender so that invariably it ends up with our on-rushing midfield players rather than going any further.
As long as we've got unrushing midfield,
well,
we don't always have. I mean, I would play Jamie Peters just behind Scotland, if you're going to play Scotland up front on his own, as the man who's coming forward, because he's the unpredictable one for defence. If Scotland can knock him up to Peters, they don't know what Peters is going to do on their defence.
Because he doesn't.
No, he doesn't. Once he stops to think, they'll go like all the other players. But That seems to work quite well, I think, and the odd flashes on Saturday.
So you'd play that sort of Higham, let's say, in a holding role, and then sort of like a diamond, almost.
Yes, more or less a diamond, yes.
But the way they've been playing, sometimes he's played Priskin up front, hasn't he, in a sort of advanced role, and Scotland deeper than that. And he's also a similar sort of thing with Healy the other week. Healy plays that role in the reserves, doesn't he, quite a lot.
But I would only say that if you're playing Scotland up in front on his own, then I would put Peters as the next nearest man sort of thing to him.
Problems with Connor doing it, the wicker man, as I call him. He's usually got two people hanging onto his neck, his shoulders. He's routinely got two people on him. He really is. They're frightened of him.
To the right or the left or this sort of thing.
But paradoxically, he seems better on the deck than in the air, doesn't he, really? Sort of so I think keeping it down to him is the way to play it, if we can get it through, which we sort of did a couple of times with, you know, that Livermore powering forward. So I think he could be a really good one.
What do we make of Livermore generally? Impressed?
Well, when I've seen him,
looked pretty useful.
Definitely, yeah, and he passes forward, which is sort of a bit of a, for a midfield person, slightly unusual.
I think that surprised me on Saturday. We didn't try and get the ball to him as often. I mean, there was a lot of trying to get the ball forward quickly again, rather than try and play through.
Lumping it through
Maybe just a settling in thing. I mean, was that his first start? Or did
it was his first start. He came on a sub at Reading, didn't he?
Yeah. So it may be that with a few games under the belt, they might actually work up a sort of system of trying to give the ball to him to push it through.
So who would you play it? I mean, if you're talking about, I mean, I think Roy is looking at a five-man midfield, if you count the wide men as midfielders, Edwards on one side, Townsend on the other. Who are the best three to go in the middle then? Given the current personnel.
Maybe we put Jace on Scotland to tire him out first, wear out the defence a bit, and then he tends to favour bringing Connor on later, doesn't he? Yeah. And then coming back, I mean, you've got Higham, I suppose, coming through, and then...
So you'd have Higham as the holding player.
But to burst through, I mean, we've got Norris, of course, who was off the other day, wasn't he? And who's pretty good at winning it back, but maybe not quite so good. He gets a bit lost when he gets forward, I think, sometimes.
You've got those two roles in advance of Higham, and you've got Leadbitter, Livermore and Norris for those roles.
I'd quite honestly leave Leadbitter out at the moment. He's sort of going with his second season syndrome type thing. He shone last year, but this year I don't think he's really... lived up to what he did last year, and I say his corners, etc.
You
think what's he doing on the pitch? I would initially leave him out with no respect.
I wouldn't surprise me. I have to say that if Keane did do that, I mean, whether he feels Livermore has got enough games under his belt at the moment to sort of for him to be worthwhile of a place. Of a kind of regular, I don't know, but I was impressed with him.
And then you could bring Leadbitter on later. The
thing is, Roy seems to base it all on training, though, doesn't he? Whenever they ask him to defend his decision, he's always said, well, the boy's done well in training, and he's obviously puts a lot onto those matches that we don't see. He flies by, Roy just goes by the wind a little bit, and I fancy this, it's not always totally logical. Then after 10 minutes, he's up out of his seat and got him off.
But I think the training thing is if players are putting in the effort in training and looking good in training, then he thinks, well, yeah, that's worthwhile. Well, I mean, I think he does, obviously. You know, if someone was scoring game after game, he's not going to drop him because he's had a couple of bad training sessions, I don't think.
No, but he's sort of...
I think it is interesting to take that into consideration.
It's a bit like racehorses. They don't always put it on the gallops, but when you get them on the day, they seem to do it, you know, and obviously great if we had 11 that you could depend to play on the day, but I just think he's a bit of a hothead in his decisions. He sits down for all of the first half, then after about 5 minutes of the second, he's up off there, and he's out of his tree then, and it's pretty regular. You can predict his movements, Roy, there, sitting behind him for, you know, match after match. And that's why I think you just suddenly think that someone don't do that, and then they do it, and they're off.
But at the moment, I mean, the team itself, I mean, this time last year, the complaint was that the team was changing every week. And it has essentially been the same, with the exception of one or two positions, pretty much every week since the beginning of the season, really, isn't it?
I think what we need is a right back, because we haven't got a fully-fledged right-back on the books, as far as I can see.
No.
Everybody's playing out of position, and most of them are doing reasonable...
I was going to say, though, actually, right-back hasn't...
Whether you can get through 46 games without
a right-back... filling in. It's funny, because the only player that you'd probably say is a right back is Carlos Edwards, really. And he hasn't played a game at right back. No. I mean, he when he was at Wrexham, when he was at Luton, I think that was where he played a lot of his football, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And with Trinidad and Tobago.
Well, he used to combine well with Rossignol, didn't he? And they, you'd almost like interchangeable those
where's
two.
Where's he
if
gone?
You like, yeah, what good question.
Signing on, I think.
Really, what has happened to him?
It's not that funny, is it, Phil? Really poor boy. Choked.
His dad's doing all right, isn't he? He's, you know, he's the one who's got a regular spot.
Yeah, on the Football League show. No, yeah. I think he was talking about Bristol City, wasn't he? And then he's opted against it, didn't he? But not heard anymore. Anything from the people.
Do you want to sort of go off subject slightly?
No.
I do actually agree. Totally agree with this guy. Who is this? This is John Smale. Thought the atmosphere was great on Saturday, best for ages, but a little confused over the ground rules. If the entire away section is allowed to stand up for the whole game, why do I get told to sit down by my friendly upper Bobby Stewart if I'm on my feet for 20 seconds? I did ask him and he said he didn't know. Anyone else have any ideas? I'm not saying that they shouldn't be made to sit, more that I should be allowed to stand. Hear, hear.
Well, I think it's pragmatism on the part of the stewards, isn't it?
Are they going to manage to get 2,000 people just to sit down when they refuse to sit down? What do you do? I mean, you see this all over the country, that people, particularly in
the
away sector, tends to stand up, particularly if they haven't got a particularly good view to start with.
But there's 2,000 of them doing the same thing. Was that chap in the South Stand?
He was in
Taunton.
Bobby Robson Upper, North Stand.
They must have infiltrated then or something, because there was a bit of infiltration in the South Stand.
No, he wasn't talking about, the entire away.
He himself as an Ipswich
supporter. And he was told to sit down, which I totally agree.
I think there is this kind of policy of, if there's a seat, you have to sit down. But at the same time, and the stewards will enforce that, and it's easier to enforce in home sections because obviously, particularly areas where everyone's got a season ticket, because they know if they keep doing it week after week, they'll get a letter, as I think happened a few years ago in the lower north, and the club will start to get sniffy about it. The difference with the away fans is, of course, that it's once a season, and the away fans think they can get away with a bit more, and it's harder to do. I mean, it's not a case of it being right as much as it just being difficult to police, unless police do actually do things in a kind of slightly more mob-handed way, which, given the reputations of some of the clubs that have been here lately, would that be seen as antagonising a situation that was already...
Talking to the only copper I know reasonably well, he's always been of the opinion that the north stand lower, as long as you know there's one part of the ground, should be allowed to stand. He's never had a problem with that.
But that's not, it's not him too.
I know it's not. It's the ground. But also, it's the rules. But saying that, you've been away to loads and loads of games. And, I mean, I remember, I think it was Wolves last season, or the Wolves when we played at night, I can't remember. Stood up, you know, the home end.
Yeah.
Stood up completely, and our lot tried to stand up, and we're told to sit down. And of course, you come out with the obvious, well, how come we've got to sit down?
Yeah.
It's not for me to say, mate, you've just got to sit down, or we're going to throw you out. Words to that effect.
Yeah. So, how many supporters did we have there?
Well, we do quite well, don't we, for support.
Yeah, we do all right.
It'll be a few hundred, several hundred backs.
And also...
As against several thousand.
And there's thousands of those all standing up, and they made no effort to make them sit down, because they would have refused en masse, and you'd have had to ban 10,000 home fans.
It's a classical bylaw or whatever, rule or whatever it might be. I mean, it's a bit like a litter act.
Yeah, written law.
Everybody knows you shouldn't be throwing litter, but I mean, how many times is that enforced?
Yeah.
It's one of these things, it's impossible to enforce.
You can stand up on a moving bus, on a moving train, you can stand up in church if you're 100 years old, but you can't stand up at football. I mean, it's bonkers. Absolutely bonkers. Who's ever died from standing up?
Lying down in the church.
I believe the Soviets used to use standing up as a torture. They used to get these rooms where people sit down.
I can understand watching Ipswich being a torture.
72 hours standing up would... Yeah,
I could understand that. If a game went on for 72 hours, I might have a problem, obviously.
Watford away is the next test, yeah. Watford away, because that's a rubbish stand to be in. It's freezing cold behind. We used to be sideways on there, didn't we, in a sort of chicken run type thing, which is quite good. Now they moved us behind one of the goals, it's the vicarage end, and that's, you have to stand there, because that's our lot, are all standing up. So it's us that's, you know, it's the first row stand up, everyone else stands up. Mm. That's it, isn't it, really?
Once you get the row in front, that wherever you start, stands up, then everybody has to do it, regardless of whether they want to or not, because, of course, you can't see anyway.
I know.
Well, the atmosphere was
you can guarantee...
That, but that was down to Leeds, really. I mean, do you think it was the same atmosphere against Coventry?
Yeah.
I doubt it. I mean, I didn't think there was incredible atmosphere, I have to say.
Well, it got it,
towards the end.
I think the last 10 minutes was quite feisty, but other than that, I didn't think it was that much.
That was the rest of the season, I think it probably was.
The red card, by the way, I don't
Alex
think,
Bruce, yeah.
Apparently a book, someone told me a book he was offering 4-1 that Alex Bruce would get sent off.
Is he still in business, the bookie?
Because a lot of people would have taken it, yeah. Or someone posted on the message board at £2.38 that Alex Bruce would be sent off for two rash challenges, and I think he even named Townsend as the player, which is...
I did like the way Roy Keane said we wouldn't target a player and just tell someone to run at him, and yet all the town players, by all accounts, told Townsend to run at him.
I was at the press conference and he was smiling. Grinning from ear to ear when he said
that. We all know Roy's not the sort of person to target someone and hold him around for 2 years and go for them, is it? He'd never do it, would he?
So what else we got on the...
We haven't at the moment. Well, we got one, which I can't read out because it's too abusive. I'll let you read it afterwards if you want.
Well, that's your personality, Graham. People are asking.
Yeah, I know my place.
We've got...
But anyway, thank you for that, John, because I think you've hit a rather sensitive nail on the head there. There's a hell of a lot of people agree with you.
We've got Coventry next, as we say.
We owed a result against them. We've had a couple of duff results there, haven't we? We lost a game.
It's at home,
first
isn't it?
Game of the season, we lost away. It was on TV, I think, a couple of years
ago. Last season.
And we should have done
it. The season before.
It was
the first game, wasn't it? Because we played them two games in a row. We played them the final game of the previous season,
right,
and we won 2-1.
That's right, back-to-back games, wasn't it?
And then we played them... what was the result down here last year?
Was it his first or second game? 3-1 or 2-1? We won it anyway.
I know, last season, presumably if we played them fairly early in the season, we lost.
We probably
drew 1-1, didn't it? I think we lost 2-1,
I think. We took the lead and lost, but it was an early TV game. And it was Roy's golden hello period, wasn't it? The two games he won, you know, the start of what was supposed to be the future type thing.
Yeah, 2-1 was the game down here, wasn't it? And then there we lost 2-1. And we actually played quite well in that game, didn't we?
Who have they got that's one of our players? Because he's obviously going to score. Have we got anyone? That's what usually happens, isn't it? Do we have anyone that's playing for Coventry that used to be one of us?
I can't remember. Changed managers as well.
Because when one of them scores one week, they all score, don't they? We have about six going of ex-town players.
Yeah, so we've got Coventry and then we've got...
Watford
away.
So that's going to be easy.
I mean, they're relatively... They're games that you think, if you were... aiming for to get in the playoffs, you probably ought to be getting 4 points out of those sort of games.
Should be at least.
I mean, Watford. I know people who watch Watford.
Funny results.
People I speak to watch Watford. They think that they thought at the beginning of the season Watford would be rubbish. They'll go down this year. And they're third, aren't they, or fourth at the moment? And you look at their squad and you think, well, there's not really a huge amount there, is there?
Well, it
sums up this league, you see. you know, it's all match of a matchless, really.
Yeah, I think that is it. And there's not a huge difference between a side that's 14th and a side that's going to get in the playoffs. Do you think the fact that we've got that kind of solidity about us is going to mean that we're probably going to be to the top end of that sort of large rump of teams in the middle rather than the bottom end?
We'll be hovering around... either in the playoffs or just outside. I mean, you're going to have to lose a game and you suddenly drop out and back in again. I think we'll be hovering somewhere between fourth and eighth most of the season, I think. What happens in that run in.
Because Delaney's to come back, of course. Delaney to come back, and he was, for me, the rock-solid guy last year. When he got going, he was fantastic. He got his foot on everything, or his head, or anything.
He was fantastic.
He made the central defence.
He really, amazing. Exactly. So maybe that's what we should do, play everyone at fullback till they convert to their real position.
We've tried almost everyone at fullback now.
Yeah, just whatever we buy, just put him in at fullback.
We've got about three left backs and no right backs.
Right. We've never had a left back before.
No, we've overburdened with them.
Yeah, and it's incredible that we're being linked with left backs, even though we've got
six.
We've effectively got. Well, I mean, I listed three the other day, didn't I? We've got Mark Kennedy, obviously. We've got Peters played there last week. Yeah. O.D. O'Connor. Who else we got who's played there?
Tom Eastman, presumably, is
a left-sided player.
Yeah, so he'll end up there.
At some point, he's going to have a go. I think Civelli played there in Argentina at some point, didn't he?
I'm not impressed with Tom Eastman at right back. He frightens me. I've not been impressed with any of his games.
He looks a bit lost out there, doesn't he?
Well, he got
a bit
sorry for him, actually.
I think he's obviously trying to take his chance, but I think obviously he would prefer not to be playing there.
Yeah. There was an excellent moment, I think was it the Cardiff game, or the first game when he played there, when he tried desperately to hoik the ball away with his right foot and couldn't. Yeah. He didn't have the strength in it to get it very far. But he recovered eventually. But, I mean, I think he looks a decent player, doesn't he? Yeah. And centre-halves often end up starting their career playing at full-back because managers don't want to risk them too much.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's a very good prospect. It does worry me sometimes when we start playing them out of position all over the place, that they lose their momentum a bit.
It can't be good for your confidence if you're playing out of position like your very first game in the squad and in the team, and then you're given a run around or risk it.
If you're 18 and you're in the first team, for the first few months you're just going to be on a high just because you're in the first team, aren't you?
Possibly.
Well, it depends if you do all right, but if you start making mistakes, you undermine your confidence a bit.
Talking of confidence, there's Mr. Priskin not running out about for 15 minutes. He comes on and doesn't raise a...
It's
typical, isn't it? See, that's a division with Priskin. You either like him or you loathe him.
But, I mean, he doesn't put it in.
I'm just thinking, what's the point of him being here? I mean, he's useless.
Priskin, the new Garvin.
I thought he came on Saturday and he ran about a lot and he...
Oh, very good.
He ran about
£1,000 a week did he get from...
It's
near the ball is the general accepted way of running about the field, isn't it?
He created a good opportunity for himself, didn't he? Although, to be honest, he should have across the box. And then he should have been sent away by Livermore. Actually, that spell, the last 15 minutes...
There were two breaks where we didn't get away.
I think it was about four, weren't
there?
If someone had kept control of the ball, one or other player would have been played in on.
Townsend twice held his head.
Livermore let the ball just
dribble away from him at one point, didn't he?
But I think I quite like Priskin. I think he did well at Millwall. I thought he had a really good game. I thought it was a great header.
You'd send a petition round at your next game then, Phil, and see how many people you get to sign. I'll take mine for any other player. I just think he comes on for 15 minutes and he doesn't even run. He's ineffectual.
I think he's come on a sub lately.
Groans as you see Priskin at the moment. Oh, God.
Well,
he
needs to have a hat trick or flicks or something like that.
I think that's true. But I don't think he sort of doesn't make the effort. I think he's lacking a bit of confidence.
He appears to skate around. He's not near the action. Another one who ducks out occasionally is Scotland. He doesn't put his head in there, and twice there were two little crunch balls, and he just held back a bit. He wasn't going to get hurt there, you know. And I'm not that I'd like to confront him on a dark night, obviously, or even a floodlit night for that matter. But you know,
I'd imagine he's a very difficult player to play against if you're a defender, because he is so powerful, isn't he?
Well, he should be, but I think I'd rather take on Priskin there. But he's anyway, we're going to differ on that one, potentially.
You think we need another striker then?
Well, I suppose if Connor nips off to Tottenham or something like that, that's the next rumour, isn't it? The window or something?
Yeah, what's your take on that, Mr. Ham? You have your finger in the pies. What do you think of that?
I don't see why he'd go to Tottenham. I think that's the kind of... Well, it depends on
the advice he gets from Bobby's father, obviously, and agents or whatever. I mean... why did Richard Wright spend all his time going to Arsenal, sitting on the bench, Everton... All this sort of thing, sitting on bench thing.
But Richard Wright went to Arsenal because he knew he was under the impression England he was going to be David Seaman's replacement. Yeah, right. And it was fairly evident at that point in David Seaman's career that he'd only got a year or so left and that Arsenal were going to need to have another goalkeeper come in. So I think that first season, there was three goalkeepers, weren't there? I think Seaman, Wright and Taylor, was it? They all made similar sort of numbers of appearances in that season. So he was being groomed to be the first choice. But going to Arsenal, Arsenal is very different than Tottenham, I think. At least Arsenal, you're more or less guaranteed they're probably going
to
be in the top four.
You don't have to be a good player to play for in goal for us.
Well, I think the thing with Tottenham is they're in the Champions League this year, but can you really see them? Are they a prospect of being in the Champions League year in, year out?
No, they'll find it very difficult to get back into the Championship this year.
Which is my point is if you're Connor Wickham and you've got all these teams looking at you, and they all are, and they're all probably willing to pay the same sort of money for him, what's the point of going to Tottenham, who out of those big clubs, the Chelsea's, the Arsenal, Manchester United's, whatever, I'm not including Liverpool in that, Manchester City, why go to Tottenham?
Well, it depends where you also think, but it depends also whether you think you're going to get regular football. Obviously, they're not going to put him in and play him 38 games in the season straight away. But, I mean, going to somewhere like Chelsea or Man City or something like that would probably... No chance.
But presumably, if he went to Tottenham,
I suspect he'd probably get a fair chance of playing a few games.
It's taken Bale quite a long while to establish himself there, and he was sort of similar-ish player when he, in terms of his how he was viewed when he first came through at Southampton.
Depends on your manager. I think somebody like Harry Redknapp would probably give him a whirl.
Well, that's manager's got to be on your side. If they want to buy him, it's because Harry wants to buy him, and therefore you've therefore got more chance of getting in there.
I don't think he'll go anyway.
I don't think he'll go. I mean, a lot of the talk is that he'll go to Tottenham
eventually,
and then that he'll be loaned back. Well, I just don't see the point in someone like him making a decision like that to be loaned back from a club like Tottenham, which he could come back to, and they could be ninth or something in the league. And you think, well, why did he sign for them? He could have just signed for Aston Villa or someone like that. Whereas, actually, he could probably, if he wanted, one of the bigger clubs will come in for him. But, I mean, the other thing is, I don't think Town would sell at this moment. I don't see any logic in that.
Well, we know, but money talks in the end, doesn't it? Regardless of what position we're in or whatever.
Well, and the player, of course.
I think
he wants a bit more cash back.
So, there is a price, but I just at this point in his development, I think maybe next summer, certainly, if we're...
No, I don't think he'll go this season. No. Maybe next summer, it just depends. If we fade away half the season and fizzle out so they don't even get in the playoffs, then I think it's a better chance of him going next summer.
But, I mean, even looking at the league now, by January, we're not going to be out of it for the playoffs, are we, without any question, so... I mean, it's such a tight
division. It's just a matter of who the last half dozen games in the end. I think there'll be so many teams there.
Keeping the other two is what we want. Townsend, we've got to keep those two. That's what we need to do, isn't it, by the looks of it?
Yeah,
Townsend. He's a more, it strikes me, more of a Danny Haynes type character. You know, lots of fizz and buzz and everything, but when you really get 90 minutes worth of him, I know he played 90 minutes on Saturday.
Well, he went for it all right. We actually had some wingers, which is amazing, wasn't it? There,
he's sort of Danny Haynes plus, I think, isn't he? He's got more to him than Danny Haynes, I think.
Yeah, but what I mean is, in the game, sort of thing, having an effect for 90 minutes.
He hasn't scored against Norwich yet, of course.
There is that.
He hasn't played against Norwich yet.
At least not for. It's a flaw. Even Gio had played against. He'd scored against Norwich before he came in.
That's right.
But he's. I think he's a good player, but he is that sort of player who will influence a game more when we're 2-1 up.
Yeah.
As we were on Saturday, when the opposition are throwing everything at us.
Yeah.
And like Danny Haynes, he scored a lot of third goals in 3-1 wins, didn't he? Mm. With him breaking from the halfway line from opposition corners and things like that. Sort of thing.
Yeah. Okay, sorry, got to finish. We got one email, one notice. Quickly just saying, this is a text, doesn't say who from. Town beat Coventry at home 3-2 last season. Amazing game. Absolutely,
Pablo's goal in the 117th minute.
Yeah. That's exactly what he says. Incredible scenes, absolutely. My mate left just before the end and missed it. Wasn't that great? Secondly, ICR Music Quiz next Thursday. Anyone interested, 418-022, or can get hold of Phil, badger him, get up a team. Just lumbered you. Hard luck, Phil. Till next week, thank you everyone for listening. Thank you to Terry, thank you to Mr. Block, and of course our Phil. Have a good one. Bye bye. Hooligan, and he said that you'll never do it again. And of course he won't.